Not those lions. Three lions we can get behind.
And he hoofed it.
There's more pressure being ratcheted up with a loss like that, of course.
Just getting the head boxed off, should that just kind of happen.
For all your Lions coverage this summer, download the OTB Sports app.
The Olympic Show on OTB Sports with Indeed. Proud partner of Team Ireland.
All right, well, you are watching the Olympics show on OTB Sports with Indeed, proud partner of Team Ireland. We're live every day across the next 3 weeks across all of our social channels across the Olympic Games in Tokyo 2020. It is all with thanks to Indeed, who are proud to support Team Ireland at the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. Indeed believes the world works better when people are given every opportunity to unleash their true talents, and the hashtag is Talent Unleashed. It's not an Irish Olympian we have on the show for you this afternoon. It's in fact a rower representing Uganda. Kathleen Noble, though, has Irish heritage, it's fair to say, very strong Irish heritage, and living over in Salt Lake City in America as well. Delighted to have you on the show, Kathleen. How are you keeping?
Very well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem at all. It's a pleasure. A bit of a conflicted identity because you're representing Uganda. I was reading the Salt Lake Tribune describing you as a Salt Lake woman over in Utah, and now the Irish are claiming you. So this must get all very confusing for you.
I know. I feel like I've got an awful lot of attention for someone at my level, and being represented on three different continents, it's quite exciting.
And how has the Tokyo Olympics been going for you so far? I know you were competing against our own Sunita Pospur in Heat 2 the other day, and you're in the repechage as well today. So it's been an interesting start for you, and straight in at the deep end against some tough competitors in choppy waters in Tokyo.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was very happy with my first race. I came fifth out of six, and I mean, it's just kind of an honor to get to race against people like Sunita, who are world champions. And that's kind of like a whole different level from where I'm at. So it's pretty fun to get a race against them, even if you kind of get destroyed. And then today my race wasn't so great. I ended up being blown by the wind into the buoys, which was pretty frustrating and disappointing. So I feel like I didn't do as well as I could have, but I'm ready to go out tomorrow and do better.
Tell us a little bit then about that Irish heritage, because it's kind of garnered a few headlines over here for sure. And I know your mother and father, Moira and Jerry, were missionaries that went over to Uganda. So maybe tell us a little bit about how all that came about and how Uganda became a part of your life.
Yeah, so my parents are both Irish. My dad's from the north, from Enniskillen. So I've got my nanny there in Enniskillen, and my mum's parents are from Monaghan, from Newbliss. And so my parents both went to Trinity in Dublin for university. And then after that, when they were married, they just felt a calling to work in Africa, and Uganda is where God led them. So they moved out there, and they've been there for 28 years almost now.
Well, as a Monaghan man, I'm absolutely going to be supporting you for the rest of the Olympics. I didn't know that there was such a strong Monaghan link there as well. That's brilliant. Great to hear. For some people that might not be aware, Kathleen, of your background, you were actually a really, really strong swimmer before you got into rowing. Isn't that right?
Yes. Yeah. So I grew up swimming since I was about 5 years old. I was competing in swimming, and that's where I first represented Uganda, was in swimming at the 2012 World Championships in Istanbul. I think I still have the national record for 50 fly, which is pretty cool to still hold that record. And so that's kind of was my introduction into international sports. I really enjoyed competing for Uganda. I felt like sports more than anything has been the way that I felt very connected to Uganda, and actually like feeling that identity of being Ugandan. I think in Uganda it's very unusual for someone who's white to be Ugandan, and I think often people are very surprised when I tell them that. But I feel it's really like through the sporting world that I felt accepted and connected to that identity.
Am I right in saying it was only when you were at Princeton University that you eventually left the water and got into the boat, I guess?
Yes, that's correct. I started rowing in university.
What was that? What kind of inspired that move? Like, you would have been, as you said, a swimmer with serious, serious talent. So, and rowing is such a tough sport. I mean, we've had different rowers on the show over the last number of weeks. Even Niall O'Toole, Irish rower, was on with us last night, and it's such a tough physical and mental sport. I mean, what I guess inspired that decision to get into rowing?
Yeah, initially it was that when I went to university, I kind of decided that I wanted to leave swimming, and I thought I wanted to kind of leave the world of competitive sports, just kind of to try something new because I've dedicated so much time to that. But then I found I really missed it. I really missed the exercise and the discipline and the team. And my roommate, my first year at university, was on the rowing team, and she just loved it. And she suggested that I check it out. And so I did. And I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed being outside. I really enjoyed how tough it was, actually, just the chance to push yourself so hard. Like, I had never pushed myself that hard before. And I remember that first year, there would be winter training sessions on the ergometer, and you would get done with it and you would throw up, and I would lie on the floor, and I would just think, I can never do that again. And then you come back next week and you do it again and you do better. And I guess because of my background in swimming, I did end up being quite good when I walked onto the team. And so I actually represented Princeton at US Nationals my first year as a novice walk-on, which is very unusual and was a very proud moment for me to get that achievement. So it really felt like an area where I could push myself to the limit and maybe even past the limit, and it would just pay off. And that was a really cool experience.
I wonder then about the individual aspect of what you're doing at the moment at the Olympics, because I know at Princeton you would have been, for example, part of an 8-person crew. And I look at teams like, for example, the Irish women's hockey team over there together at the Olympics, and there's kind of that team bond and team spirit. Whereas in rowing, you know, in single sculls rowing, as you're doing, it's quite an individual sport. Like, you would have been responsible for one oar at Princeton for a time, and now it's two oars, of course. So it's quite a tough sport mentally, given the individual aspect to it as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think my preference would be for team boats. If I could row in a double or in a quad, I think I would really enjoy that. The truth is, at the moment, Uganda, we don't have any other female rowers who are kind of at a level to compete internationally, and we're working on that, and hopefully in the future that'll change. But for right now, there just isn't that. But I really love team boats, and I miss that. And I was training in Philadelphia recently, and I got to race in a double with one of the US scholars there, and that was just so much fun to have that energy of being with someone else in the boat.
And I was texting your coach Roderick Humuza last night, and I know it was kind of a chance almost visit by him from Uganda to the US. That made him aware of the fact that you were from Uganda and you had the ability and the right to represent Uganda on the international stage. So what role did that visit, his visit to America, play in your decision to ultimately row for Uganda?
Yeah, well, I had no idea Uganda had a rowing team. Probably till the Olympics, most of Uganda had no idea that Uganda had a rowing team. It's a very small community at the moment. And so I guess running into him, yeah, really just by chance that he ended up talking to one of my teammates, who then said that I was part of the team and I was Ugandan. So then I met up with him over Christmas when I was back in Uganda. And he was very excited. And he was like, we're going to send you off to the World Championships. And I had been rowing for 6 months at that point. And I was like, I don't think I can do that. And I don't know how to scull. But it was kind of there in the back of my mind. And so actually the next year, I took a semester off from school, and I did go home and I trained with the Ugandan team. And that was a very challenging experience in many ways, but I'm so grateful for it because it allowed me to be part of that community in an active way and to participate in a lot of the struggles that they have there. And there are a lot of struggles, and just kind of like the disappointments of things and the confusion. And like, I was, so they kind of said I was going to go to the World Championships, and that's a big reason why I took that semester off from school. And then I'd been training there for 5 months, and then FISA kicked Uganda out of the World Rowing Federation because of our politics. And they said, oh, well, actually, you can't go. And so I just threw my hands up in the air and went to India and backpacked for a month and kind of, you know, didn't think anything was going to come of it. And then I come back and they're saying, oh, actually, maybe you can go. And so in the end, I didn't actually know that I was going to go to the World Championships until 10 days before the competition. And I was actually in Ireland at the time. I was at my grandparents' house in Monaghan in the countryside, and trying to train, which is really just like running, which wasn't really training. And then I was in Dublin, and I went to Commercial Rowing Club in Dublin, I just showed up there and I said, somebody help me and please let me use a boat. And so there were two guys there, Fergus and Billy, who were so kind to me. And this is like 10 days before the beginning of the competition. I had never been in a racing single before, only in a bigger training boat, which is like 35 kilos, and a racing shell is 14 kilos. So much smaller, much less stable. And so those guys at Commercial were just so fantastic, helped me out, taught me how to manage my tiny little boat and do starts and stuff. And so it ended up being a big adventure, but certainly, like, I feel the struggle that the Ugandan athletes experience and the disappointments of being told things and then changing. So I don't know where this started, but...
Like, it's fascinating to me because, by all accounts, the Princeton Boathouse is one of the best rowing facilities in the world. And then you're going to Uganda. I mean... presumably that the facilities were nowhere near what they were at Princeton. I mean, that must have been quite a humbling experience almost.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, like, I grew up in Uganda, so I knew the facilities were not going to be like Princeton. And I was happy enough with what we have, but we really don't have very much. And even the boats that we do have, you know, sometimes you got to stick them with duct tape because they're getting a hole in them and that's all you can do. And so it was definitely there. You got to try to change your mindset, you know, and readjust to what it was. And it was still a good training opportunity. But certainly, like, I'm very hopeful that in the future, Uganda can get more equipment and actually be able to grow the sport. Because right now we probably only have, you know, like five or something like that.
I mean, you mentioned that Uganda has the small rowing community, but for people over here, they might not even realize Uganda is a country of 45 million people. Like, there's clearly a lot of pride in Uganda, and you were the first rower to represent Uganda at an Olympic Games as well. And the first Ugandan athlete, I think, at this Tokyo Olympics to compete. So that must have been quite a big moment for people in Uganda. And I've even seen Ugandan newspapers and media covering it quite extensively. It's a big story over there.
Yeah, it's been really exciting for the Ugandan rowing community. And just, I think a lot of people back home are really excited about it, more so even than I expected. So it's been really cool to see that energy.
And for a lot of people, taking part in the Olympics is more than enough. I mean, clearly the a lot of elite athletes are going for medals and talking about top 10 finishes and that sort of thing. But for you to be in an Olympic Games, like, is it all you ever dreamed of? Is it something that you always had ambitions for, or is it kind of cropped up almost unexpectedly?
I think for rowing, it was pretty unexpected. I think when I was growing up swimming, it was something that was in my mind as a possible goal. And then I guess when I moved on from swimming, I just didn't expect it to be a possibility. And so it's definitely a surprise to be here, especially, you know, picking up the sport so late. I feel like usually when people make it to the Olympics, they've been doing it since they were 5 years old. But rowing is unique in that way that you can start it later and do very well.
And even in Salt Lake City, where you're based in Utah, I mean, there aren't many waterways in Utah, quite an arid, hot place. So I know you train in the Jordan River. What's that like, you know, being a rower in a state like Utah that is not renowned exactly for its waterways?
It definitely has its challenges. We have, so our stretch of river is about 1,700 meters, and it's between sort of like a chemical factory plant and an industrial wasteland. It's kind of a cool juxtaposition though, because you have these gorgeous big mountains in the background, but then, you know, you've got this like chemical plant spewing out ammonia or something sometimes. So, but yeah, there's not a lot of rowing in Salt Lake City. I train with a high school team there, which is, it's a competitive team. They have gotten medals at nationals before, and that's kind of like the highest level of rowing that is in Utah. So I've really enjoyed training with that high school team, but it is definitely different, you know, to being at a high performance program. I got an opportunity to go to two different American high performance programs just in the 2 months leading up to the Olympics. And it's definitely a different experience when you have, you know, your boathouse that's right by the water, whereas we have to carry our boats across the road and we like have the launch and we bring it on a trolley and stuff like that. So, it's a bit more like Uganda, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, like I read a quote from Hassan Iqbal, who's I know involved with you over there in Salt Lake City, and he was talking about your origins in rowing and what you bring to the sport, and he said, she seemed very determined, and to me that's such a key part. If you're doing it because it's cool, that's not going to do it. Like, clearly you're someone who's committed, dedicated, and has the mental capacity and fortitude to take part in this sport, because as I said earlier, it's far from an easy sport.
Yeah, it is brutal, and like there's been times that I've done races and I've ended up being like seriously sick after them, and it's just kind of like you wonder, why do I do this to myself? But then you come back and you do it again. So but there's something about that toughness, you know, just seeing like how far can I push myself.
Yeah, like even listening to Niall O'Toole talking off the ball last night, like a former Olympian himself, he spoke about this, the old East German analogy where, you know, trying to pick a double sculls rowing team and almost throwing 8 eggs against the wall and seeing which 2 stick. Like it's that kind of tough training that really only the best come through.
Yeah, and you certainly see that, I guess, like when I walked onto the team at Princeton, you know, you have maybe like 25 people that join at the beginning of the year, but then like at the end of the year, there's only 5 that are still with it. So anyone can join, but you got to stick with it, and a lot of people don't.
Like, you've been involved as well, just as if you weren't busy enough in cancer research and physical therapy while you were training in Utah. And I know you have been working as a technician in the Huntsman Institute in Salt Lake City as well. Like, that must be, I'd imagine, very tough but rewarding work as well.
Yeah, I mean, so working in cancer research, it was interesting to kind of see behind the scenes of that, because the reality of that kind of work, you know, it's just a lot of the same thing, a lot of looking after yourselves day in and day out, and then doing experiments and repeating them over and over again. So I would say, like, it's not very rewarding on the day to day. And because it's such a slow process, you know, you got to stick with it for many years, I think, before you see any really rewarding results. I really have a lot of respect for people who do that, but that's not going to be my path.
Like it's incredible work, and like it's something that I'm sure. Do you find it hard to balance the your work in the cancer research with the rowing? Has it like rowing is such a sport that you need to commit so many hours to? Is it tough to find the balance between the work and the life?
I mean, it was challenging at times, certainly when I was working full time at the lab. But my bosses were really supportive, and I was able to kind of do my hours in such a way that I could be free for the time that I needed to train. And so I was really grateful for that flexibility. But then all you do is like row, sleep and go to work.
Absolutely, I can imagine. I mean, I saw you talking as well about the before you headed over to Tokyo, the choppy waters in Tokyo and the crosswinds and how the conditions were expected to be and usually are in Tokyo Bay quite tough. Has that lived up to your expectations? Has it been tougher or slightly easier than maybe you thought?
It has been much easier than I expected. The crosswind is annoying, and I'm not used to that. But the chop has not been what I was expecting at all. So that has been a pleasant surprise.
Finally, Kathleen, you've been great with your time. I know you're only out of dinner, and the hours are a little bit different over there. So we'll let you get back to it. But have you had a chance to chat to any of the Irish athletes? I know you were in the heat, for example, with Sunita Paspor. Have you discussed your Irish links and heritage with her at all?
No, I haven't. I haven't had a chance to talk to them. I think one of the coaches came up to me today and was saying, "Oh, I saw you in the Irish news." So that was kind of nice. I would love to chat to them. I feel like something with COVID, things have been very socially restricted, and so you don't really have an opportunity to interact with other teams very much. But you know, maybe I should go find them and say hello. I would like that.
Absolutely, say hello. Well, listen, Kathleen, we'll be firmly following. I know your Irish ancestors and family over here will be listening in and following all your exploits on Irish media as well as over in the Olympics as well. You've been great with your time, and we will be firmly following your endeavours over the next while, not just in the Olympics but going forward. So thanks a million for your time, Kathleen. Great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Great stuff. Kathleen Noble there, the Irish, we're going to call her Irish, Irish-Ugandan-American rower. So the best of luck to Kathleen with everything else. As I said, this is the Olympics show on OTB Sports with Indeed, proud partner of Team Ireland, live every day across the next three weeks, across all of our social channels. All with thanks to Indeed. Proud to support Team Ireland at the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. Indeed believes the world works better when people are given every opportunity to unleash their true talents. The hashtag is Talent Unleashed.
The Olympic Show on OTB Sports with Indeed, proud partner of Team Ireland.